Hello, Gospel for Grampian Youth. Welcome to Youth Weekend. Yes, Sundays is our time as Women of Africa Care to inspire our youth. Youth, we are on episode 24. So if you've missed the other 23 episodes, I encourage you to go to Gospel for Grampian Podbean and download those episodes. Very, very life-inspiring episodes we bring to you every week to make you street savvy. Street savvy as to be intelligent and wise with what's happening in the world so that you don't get swayed by the wicked one, because not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that looks like light is light, because the word of God says that the devil presents himself like a bright light, like a bright morning star, but he is the devil that is in disguise, right? So it's important for you to become spiritually savvy so that you can discern the things that are beyond the people and beyond the opportunities and beyond the things that you just see with your natural eyes. The things of God are spiritual. The things of the devil are spiritual. And so if you're looking at something pretty and thinking it's all good, but meanwhile, it could be something very, very cunning behind it, you have missed it because you were looking in the carnal mind, purely in the flesh, to feed your appetites or to feed your desires, and you forget to know that there is something fishy behind that beautiful picture or that beautiful person or that bright person or that nice opportunity that looks good, but it has a hidden agenda. So sit back today as we speak to you on Knock Knock Who's There. Episode 24 is Knock Knock Who's There. Yes, you heard right. Why do we ask who's there when somebody knocks on the door? Because not everyone who knocks is entitled to have access into your life, into your home, into your family, into your friendships, into your career, and into mentoring, coaching, or influencing you. Not everybody is allowed to speak into your life. So you have to ask who's there. And when you're asking who's there, you're not asking from just a carnal perspective, but you are beginning to say, Lord, show me the motive of their hearts. Because Proverbs 16:2 tells us, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but the motives are weighed by the Lord. So God looks at the motive of the heart, at the intention of the heart, because not everything that glitters is gold. So you have to be able to look into the motives of people's hearts when they come and they knock on your door and ask you, would you like to participate in our friendships? Or would you like to have my hand in marriage? Or I'd like to be your business partner? Or I'm going to promote you. And it came off guard and you didn't expect it. What is the motive of that promotion? I'm thinking about this, Gospel for Grampian Radio listeners all over the world. You know, in South Africa, before South Africa became a democratic country, we had the apartheid regime. And in the apartheid regime, there was a classification between race groups. So every race group had a specific place in society, in the country. They had spatial development, spatial opportunities in specific areas for different race groups. And so when it now came into democracy, there was a reformation taking place. And so suddenly, for democracy to have its to be shaped, things needed to change, meaning everybody had to have a free opportunity into the economy, into spatial areas. No longer were specific areas were just for a specific race group, but now government had made it open that you don't have restrictions anymore in terms of traveling, in terms of where you need to live, in terms of the schools that you need to attend, and in terms of economic activity. So what was happening now, because of the economic activity promoting democracy, businesses had to have all types of citizens, all types of race groups participating in their companies at ownership and management level in order to transform the economic active participants. If you get out of one regime, for example, apartheid, where there's segregation, and now you go into democracy where everybody can participate and there's no segregation. You can't practice apartheid in a democracy and expect democracy to work. So you have to change the way you do business. So government was saying, okay, for business opportunities, we want all business companies to now allow non-specific race groups to participate in their companies. Meaning, if I am a white company, I need to have now some non-white South African citizens in my company having shares as well as participating in management control. In that way, government can see, okay, we are now leading towards allowing democracy to take shape in the company, and that opened up doors for these businesses to get order books from the government and nationally. So what was happening, these companies started knocking on the door of non-white people. They knocked on their doors and they just started giving them opportunities in ownership and management, not telling them what it is all about. So here you would have in a company, the tea lady, the housekeeper, the gardener are shareholders in this business. But these people that have now taken on these shares have no idea that they are shareholder, have no idea that they must participate in management control. Yet in the business documents, they are highlighted as a director. They are highlighted that they participate in meetings. So what was happening was they were getting, doors were opening for non-white South African citizens, but those doors had ulterior motives. So, and because it was a time of reform and the non-white South African citizens were, a lot of them were afraid to ask the questions, they kept quiet and signed as a shareholder in companies, not knowing that they had entitlements. And because they kept quiet, they didn't get the entitlement of the dividends. They didn't participate in board meetings. They didn't vote. People were knocking on their doors. They didn't ask who's there, as in, what is your motive? They knew the person, but they did not know the motive of the heart. And therefore, they were fronted. It's called a fronting opportunity, where you're just there as a shareholder, but you serve no purpose and you get no benefit. And so why I'm using this example to tell you today is that all persons' ways seem pure, but God sees the motive of their heart. So when anybody comes to give you an opportunity, you need to ask the question as in, what is the motive of their heart? Why am I saying this? Satan is the deceiver. He comes to deceive in your place of need or want. God knows your needs, and so does the devil. And by faith, you receive your needs from God. But from the devil, he comes when you have a need, he comes and he presents it as a pretty package for you, but it leads you the wrong way. The Bible says that a way seems right to a man, but it leads them to death. So the devil comes to knock on your door to make a package look pretty because you have a need and he's showing you that need can be met through him. And in you accepting the devil's need, you're actually falling far away from the faith and you are being robbed, killed, and destroyed. Nothing the devil offers you has got good in it, because the word of God says the devil is wicked and evil. There is nothing good in him. When he rebelled against God, he became wicked. There is no good in the devil. So any opportunity that the devil knocks on your door to give you, he comes like a shining light. So you might go, wow, it is beautiful. It is glittering. It is awesome. I'm going to take it. But if you don't see the motive of that opportunity, the motive of the heart of that opportunity, you are going down a wrong path. I want to use the example, Gospel for Grampian Youth, of Adam and Eve. Knock, knock. Who's there? Is this a faith, fear, greed, pride, or appetite opportunity? That was what Eve was supposed to ask. She didn't ask the question. In Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took it, she ate of it, she gave to her husband, and he ate of it. Then both their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So here now they were exposed to good and evil, and they were ashamed of how they looked, and they covered themselves. Notice, before they were open to evil, they had no shame and disgrace for their nakedness. But suddenly now, when evil comes, shame and disgrace comes upon their nakedness. But notice what the scripture is telling us. She said, Eve saw with her eyes it was good for food, meaning it was good for her appetite. Remember what the devil does? He comes to tempt you in your desires, the lust of the flesh, things that are good for your appetite, for your body, addictions, sexual sins, and food addictions. Pleasant to the eyes, covetousness. The word of God says, she said it was pleasant to the eyes. It looked good to the eyes, greed and covetousness. Why do we say covetousness? God said she could eat of any tree in that entire garden. So she was not short of trees and fruits to eat. But because he lured her, it now suddenly became tempting and good, forgetting that she had access to all the other trees. And then it says here, a tree desirable to make one wise. Look at, he swayed her by his prideful deviousness. Think about it. There is only one wise, and that is God. God's wisdom is what created all things. Science cannot even comprehend the wisdom of God in making the earth spin around itself. Science cannot explain and comprehend gravity. Do you understand? It is the wisdom of God that founded the earth and created all things. And here, the devil tells her, this tree is going to make you wise. And she forgot that she's created in the nature of God and she has godly wisdom. So what did she do? She got swayed by that knock. She entertained that knocking of that cunning serpent. She entertained conversation with him. Instead of when he was knocking on her door, instead of her saying, no, I have authority over you, serpent. You cannot tell me that I can eat of something that I know I cannot eat of. She was supposed to do that and cut it off then and there. She was supposed to resist the devil so that he can flee. But instead, she listened on to what he said, because when he said, did God say you must not eat of the tree? Instead of her asking, what is the motive of this conversation? She allowed and entertained the conversation to go further until she got tempted. So you always have to ask the question. When somebody tells you to do something in contradiction to what you know God is telling you to do, don't entertain it. They can find fancy ways of how they're going to present it to you. Always remember, when there's an opportunity coming your way, first, have that inner discussion with God before you even speak to the other person. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. So when they come and they knock on your door, you go quickly and have that internal discussion in your heart while they're still knocking on the door. God, what do you think I should say on this matter? And then you respond. Because if Eve had listened to God on the matter, she would have not entertained the serpent telling her, did God say you must not eat of any tree? Because she has authority over the serpent. The devil used a snake in the garden, possessed that snake, and began to tempt Eve. Eve was supposed to know that she has authority over all things, and therefore, who gives that snake the right to question her about what she must eat and not eat? Because God gave the instruction to man not to eat of that tree and not to touch the tree. He didn't give the instruction to the animals, right? So it was for Adam and Eve to take authority over those that were under them and not entertain those conversations with those that were not in authority. So it's always important for you to know when people knock on your door, asking who's there means what is your motive, okay? James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all who without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And then your poor choices affects those around you. Think about it, Gospel for Grampian Youth. If you choose to not apply the wisdom of God and ask the Lord to show you the motive of the opportunities that are being presented, all the people around you are going to be affected by your decision. Look at what happened with Eve. When she ate of the fruit, she encouraged her husband to eat of the fruit. And instead of him saying to her, we were not supposed to eat of the fruit, I'm not going to eat it, he got lured by her, you know, eating the fruit and swayed by her eating the fruit that he forgot that God gave him the rule not to eat of it. And he ate it. So they both got cursed. The household got cursed because they did not ask the question, what is the motive of you offering this opportunity to us when God did not tell us to eat of this tree? Next time you have someone, Gospel for Grampian listeners, next time you have someone knocking on your door for friendships, marriage, business, job opportunities, ask the question, Lord, your servant is hearing. Speak. Holy Spirit, you are with me. And you are not shy to speak. Reveal to me the perspective and the motives of the opportunities that are being presented to me. And God will give you that perspective. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what a man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Did you hear what I just said? Ask him. Gospel for Grampian listeners, who are you asking? When God says, knock, knock, and the door will be open, who are you knocking at? Because God is saying, ask him. And when God opens the door for you, it is a faith opportunity. It is a door that is opened by faith in the living God, not a door opened by the devil that comes around like a shining light, or he uses people to come and sway you out of the will of God for your life. Because you are knocking or you are asking the wrong people to come into your space. Your knocking is to be knocking on heaven's door to the Father and asking him. And when he gives you the opportunity, you will have a holy conviction in your heart that it is from the Lord because it is a faith opportunity. And you will have word of confirmation about that opportunity when it comes to you. It won't just come and land on your table without you understanding the bigger purpose of it. And you will know the motive of it. The motive of God is good. The motive of the devil looks good. Until you eat of that fruit like Adam and Eve, and then you are cursed. You will only be cursed when you eat of it. So don't think now when you're suddenly accepting the offer, oh, it's all great and all is good, because you're still seeing that light. Satan comes like a light. You see the light, you think it's all good until you bite off that opportunity, and then you are in trouble because you are cursed. Because look at it, the minute they ate of the fruit, their eyes were opened and they seen they were naked. So when you entertain anything from the devil, you are going to be exposed to wickedness, you're going to be exposed to a very, very challenging lifestyle. So please, I encourage you, youth, apply discernment. Don't get excited by what your mind's eye is seeing, by what your eyes are seeing, by what your ears are hearing, by what you, by what you're touching or feeling, or by, you know, what you feeling. Don't be moved by your feelings. You need to be moved by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit leading in your life. That is what moves you, not what your feeling says. Don't allow your emotions, which is driven by what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're tasting, what you're touching, to direct you. Be directed by the things of the Spirit, which is the Word of God and the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 3 talks about Jesus knocking on the door. And a lot of people use that reference to say that God's opened this door because Jesus knocks on the door. Let me bring this clear to you. Here Jesus is talking about fellowshipping with him. Here he's not talking about opportunities. He's talking about fellowshipping with him. Revelation 3, he's talking to the lukewarm church. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things say the Lord, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here, Gospel for Grampian Youth, you are reading that Jesus is saying, I'm knocking at the door. If anybody hears my voice and opens, I will come in. The doors that Jesus opens for you, you know his voice, and that is a spiritual voice. It is not a physical person. It is a spiritual voice telling you that God is knocking on that door, that God is giving you that opportunity. So you don't discern God opportunities by natural ears listening, because not everything that is gold glitters. Not everything that is bright and beautiful looks is good for you. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil tempted him with the very same three things that he tempted Eve: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the entire thing of the world, because he owns the world. The devil is the god of the world. Adam and Eve gave over their territory to the devil. So he offered Jesus the world, and Jesus said, I cannot bow down to you. Jesus came there as a humble servant. Jesus left the heavens as God and came down to the earth to serve the Father in completing the assignment. So what? He came down as a servant, yet he was a king of an eternal kingdom. And so here the devil tempts him in a position that he let go of to come as a humble servant. How tempting is that? God tells you, you're going to leave your position and rank and be a humble servant for a season. And the devil comes and tempts you in that time where you need to be the humble servant and not the king. And then you have to have the boldness to know that that door knocking on you to be the king when it's not the time to be the king, but to be the servant, that you must say, no, it's not my time to be king. I'm here to serve now, not to be king. So thank you. I don't want that opportunity, because you will know the voice of God that will remind you your seasons and your times, right? And so also the other opportunity that came to him, he was hungry. The Bible says he was fasting and he was hungry. Here the devil knocks on his door again. Here, if you are God, you know you have the ability to turn that stones into bread. Why don't you do it? And Jesus could do that. He could do that. He could tell the angels to do that for him, because the angels serve him. He was 100% God here, but he did not exercise his authority. He submitted totally to the authority of the Father. He said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I say, what I hear the Father say. So no authority of Jesus was applied on the earth. He applied everything the Father told him to do. He left his authority in heaven, and he operated under the leading of the Holy Spirit and only did what the Father told him to do. And here now the devil comes to tempt him to not act in his authority, when he was now the humble servant acting in the authority of God in him. And so he had to say, no, it's not the time to eat. So you see, the devil comes to meet you at a place of need. He knows what your needs are, and he'll come knocking on that door. And if you don't allow the voice of God to tell you what to do, then you are going to let entertain that opportunity, and you are ending up in a path that leads to destruction, because any opportunity that the devil brings your way is always going to lead to destruction. Now, what does it have to do with friendships when I talk about friendship opportunities? The Bible says that bad company corrupts good. So if the devil knows that you need friendships and you value friendships, and he knows that friendships is you, the personality that needs people around you in order for you to, they call them, you're a people's person. Your personality needs people in your space. So the devil's going to use bad company to come and corrupt you. So that is why you have to be aware of who you are. You have to know your weaknesses. You have to know your strengths, so that when the devil comes in a time of need, you know that you don't open those doors of opportunities that's going to cause you to go astray. God opportunities will never, ever contradict the word of God. There will always be alignment, okay? So I want you to know, not every friendship door is a connected friendship from heaven. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what heart has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Yes, youth, the minute you became born again, the Spirit of the Lord came to dwell in you. That means you are the temple of the living God. If you entertain friendships with ungodly people, wicked people, what fellowship can you, who houses the presence of God, enjoy with an ungodly person? Because there's going to be conflict, there's going to be strife, there's going to be division, there's going to be disunity, and there's going to be every wicked thing. If you are not filled with the Spirit of God, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, you are going to fall astray, following the patterns of ungodly people. Ministering to unbelievers is you serving to spread the message of God to people. That does not make them your friends. I want you to listen here. We're not saying that you must now be far away from unbelievers and you mustn't now, have conversations with unbelievers. No, we're talking about friendships here. Friendships are people that you have a soul tie with. And soul tie means that you are one in soul. You adapt one another's nature and abilities. That is why friendships are so important, because if you don't choose the right friendships, you are gluing yourself to friendships that are going to cause you to fall apart. What glues a friendship together, Gospel for Grampian Youth? It is values and interest. For example, my values are honesty, integrity, transparency, excellence, and unity. And so I build myself up with that value system. So the friends that I attract, or the friends that I'm attracted to, are people that appreciate transparency, integrity, excellence, honesty, and unity. If they don't appreciate those things, I don't want to be in their space. I get irritated and frustrated, even if they're Christian. It goes beyond just being a Christian when it comes to friendships. You have to have the right heart. You have to have the right motive. You have to celebrate one another's value system. You need to build your friendship on a common value system. Because if you don't have that common value system, then they could actually end up making you break your boundaries that you set up so that you can have a good, healthy value system. And then you actually end up going 10 steps down the ladder rather than 10 steps up the ladder. But when you have friendships that have good value systems integrated in their relationship, then you are all holding one another's ladders for success. So value systems are critical in entertaining good friendships. So when people come and knock on your door and they say they want to be your friendship, the first thing you need to know is that it's going to be a soul tie. You cannot have a soul tie with an unbeliever because you're unequally yoked. They're going to speak from a shallow mindset. You're going to speak from a heart mindset because you speak from the spirit within. They speak from a carnal mindset because they're not born again. So the things that you speak about, the mysteries and the revelations that God gives you for your purpose and your vision, they will not be able to comprehend it. They will not be able to stand in the gap for you. They will not be able to intercede for you. They will not be able to cheer you up. For them, your vision doesn't make sense because they are seeing in the carnal. They don't see in the spirit for you. You understand? Therefore, there's no heart-to-heart discussion. Heart-to-heart meaning you're speaking from the Spirit of God about your lives to one another. You are speaking life, not death, to one another. If you are unequally yoked in soul ties with friendships, then I can tell you that you are going to be in strife, discord, and you are going to collapse and fall away if your friends that are unequally yoked to you are the dominant associations in the friendship. They're going to take you away. You're going to become a lukewarm Christian because they're going to always make you think that the visions God's given you is a joke because they cannot comprehend it because they're not spiritful. They're not born again. They do not see in the spirit. They do not hear the voice of God. They will always come fighting you, challenging you because they are carnally minded. So please, my dear youth, when it comes to friendship opportunities, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Surely not all people who perceive to be friendly are worth having in your personal space." Are you listening, youth? I'm going to say it again. For some do not have the knowledge of God. And he says, I speak this to your shame. Imagine you are hanging around people that are not born again. They do not have the knowledge of God. How are they going to build you up? With what vision? Because they don't share your vision. They are carnally minded. Their visions are based on the natural senses. There's nothing spiritually inspired. They don't have spiritual discernment. So it's important for you to understand that not all people who perceive to be friendly are worth having in your personal space. Not every door of friendship is a door that you must accept, because friendships are soul ties. And when they choose to hurt you because they are carnally minded and you are spirit minded, you are going to get betrayed. You are going to get offended. You are going to get hurt. You are going to feel despair because you have a soul tie with them. And a soul tie is a covenant where two souls come together. You've now cut a bond of friendship with them, philia, love, a friendship bond with them. And so now, because of that unequally yoked situation you sit in, Instead of you enjoying the relationship, you are burdened by that friendship. You are frustrated by the friendship because y'all don't have the same value systems. Y'all don't serve the same God. Y'all don't hear the voice of God. He doesn't or she doesn't hear the voice of God, but you did. Y'all don't see the same thing. You have a God perspective, they have a carnal perspective, so your world views are different, but you're stuck in it now because you are so tired. You don't know how to get out of it. So you end up envying each other, hating each other, bitter towards each other, rejecting each other, pretending to be best friends, but you're actually living a friendship lie because you actually don't even want to be in the friendship, but you're just there because of the soul tie. So I suggest that you be very, very wise going forward. Judge your friendships by the word of God. You need spirit-filled, inspired friends in your life that will begin to see what God sees for your life and stand in the gap and intercede for you. Okay? Now let's talk about opportunities like career opportunities or business opportunities, right? The word of God says in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So here we're seeing that when we delight in God, God brings the opportunities to us. God makes the opportunities available to us. God's doors are faith opportunities, not carnal inspired opportunities. You need to have faith to be active in order to enter into those doors. Because when God opens a door for you, faith will activate it and faith will confirm it. You know, when I'm reminded about Mary, when the angel came and said to her that you are going to conceive and the baby's going to be born, his name's going to be Jesus and he's the Messiah, the anointed one. Mary believed and she said, as you have spoken unto me, I receive. And the Bible says that when she went to her cousin, Elizabeth, Elizabeth confirmed the conception in her heart. Elizabeth, in the spirit, sensed that Mary was pregnant with child because she said, you've come to visit us, but what honor do we, I mean, we are honored that you come to visit us because you hold in you the Lord. So that's the kind of opportunities when God gives you an opportunity, your spirit man resonates to that opportunity. Just like the baby in Elizabeth's stomach had got excited when Mary walked into the door because of the baby that was in Mary, there was a spiritual awakening. There was a spiritual confirmation that they were both carrying something of faith in them. Mary carried a faith baby in her. Elizabeth carried a faith baby in her. So when God opens the door for you, there's an awakening in terms of confirmation and discerning that that is a faith opportunity. Okay? You know faith's in it. Therefore, you know it is a door that God has opened. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. When she had received the spies with peace, knowing that she would endanger her family if the king found out she was hiding the spies. Imagine that. She hid the spies knowing that it comes with a risk. She had faith in their God, because if you read the account of Rahab, she heard stories and the accounts of what was happening in the wilderness, and she knew that their God was strong and powerful and that their God was going to come and invade and take over Jericho. And so when the spies came, she was sitting in a situation where if she doesn't allow them in, she stands a chance of being plundered because they're going to come in and wipe them out. But if she allows them in and hides them, then the king of her country finds out she's in trouble and she and her entire household is going to get killed. But faith took a risk. Faith takes risks. She took a risk and she hid the spies. And when the king came and knocked on the door, she said, no, they'd left. So Her faith in their God was what saved her and her family when Israel came and conquered Jericho. So faith opportunities are opportunities that will make you do something that is out of the ordinary. It will compel you to take action when things don't make sense in the natural and in the logical. That is what faith is. So you know when faith knocks on your door, because the inner spirit man will be like what happened with Mary and Elizabeth. You will have an excitement, you will have a confirmation, you will have a word from God that it is of the Lord. And you will not comprehend it in the logical. It doesn't make sense in the logical, because it did not make sense for Rahab while the walls were still up, while they were still protected from Israel, and while the king was still ruling and there was still safety in Jericho, for her to now hide a spy, because she could have died just for hiding two people that just came to spy out the land. They had not even conquered the land. But faith made her faith in their God made her take that kind of risk. And that's what happens when it comes to God opportunities. Your faith will resonate to that opportunity and it will marry, as in confirming it. Therefore, you'll know that it is a God opportunity. Now, why am I saying that, beloved youth? I just said to you earlier on, the devil will come at your point of need to come and give you an opportunity that is a counterfeit. And you have to be so careful to know, is it a faith opportunity or is it a counterfeit opportunity coming before the time, before you get your breakthrough, to give you a carnal opportunity that's going to take you away from the God opportunity. You have to know whether it is of God or whether it is of the devil. Jesus knew what he was positioned on the earth to do. Therefore, when the door of the devil came knocking to him, he knew to say no for the opportunity, because he wasn't here to play the role as king. He was here to play the role as the humble servant. When you read on to the end of Revelations, you'll see there that Jesus comes as king to reign over the earth for 1,000 years. There he comes with his authority to rule and reign as king over the earth. But when he came 2,000 years ago to go on that cross, he did not come to be king over the earth. He came to be a humble servant that will be slayed on that cross to save humanity. You need to know what your purpose is in God is Gospel for Grampian listeners, so that when the job opportunities come to you, that you will know how that fits into your eternal purpose. You need to know how that fits into the purpose that God has given you. And if you don't know, and you're not sure if you're making the right decision, then you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, please help me. Because what does the Bible say in Proverbs 16:2? God looks at the motive of the heart. If an opportunity comes and you're not sure if you're hearing God and you take it, God will give you the ability to reject it or to renounce it, because you're saying to God, Lord, I want to hear you. If you in rebellion take opportunities, you are going the wrong way. But if you're not sure and you accept it, you have to go back to the drawing board and sit down with God and say, God, that opportunity knocked on my door. I said yes, but I actually am not sure if this is your will for my life. Can you please help me? And then God will make it clear and he'll say to you, no, it's not my will. And he will create an escape route for you to get out of it. But if it is his will for your life, then you've got that confirmation. You can proceed. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua was ordained the leader, taking over the mantle from Moses to be the leader that will take them into victory, into their promised land. What happened with Joshua? His title, his position did not move him from his submission to the Holy Spirit. Opportunities that God gives you, Gospel for Grampian Youth, will always make you submit to God and not to the ranking, not to the title, not to the money, not to the wealth associated to the opportunity, not to the people that are going to, you know, cheer you on. When God gives you an opportunity, your submission always is to God in order for you to serve in the opportunity he's given you. Whether he's called you to be the prime minister of Egypt, whether he's called you to be the queen of Persia, Your opportunity will always require you to submit to God in that position. Look at what happened with our precious Joseph. When the opportunity was open to him to interpret the dream, he said to the king, "My God will give it to you, not me." Meaning God's going to reveal the dream to Joseph to give it to the king. Because Joseph, in his own ability, cannot interpret dreams. It is a gift of God given to him to do that. So that is why he said, "My God will give it to you." And so when God gives you opportunities, all the glory goes to God. And you have to have faith in God in order to activate and fulfill that role that he's given you. So it doesn't matter. Look at what happened with Esther. When she went into the palace, she didn't forget God. She needed to use faith in God in order to deliver the people, the Jewish nation in Persia. She had to do a fast. She had to trust the Lord. And she had to be led by God how to strategically present a dining opportunity twice between the king and Haman in order to explain the situation and save her people. So look, even in her queenly role in the palace, she had to submit to God in order to fulfill her assignment in a world environment. So every opportunity God gives us, we will always be dependent in him on how to fulfill our role. But when we don't take a God opportunity, we battle and we struggle and we toil in the opportunity to fulfill it, because now we're leaning on carnal ability. There was no God in it. There was no God inspiration in that door. That door was not a God door. That door was a devil door, trying to distract you and sway you out of the perfect will of God, because he knows that when you take a job that is offered by God, which is a faith opportunity, he knows that it's gonna rattle. It's gonna shake the foundation of his kingdom and his territory. Because remember, the devil has territory over the earth. But when you become born again and you operate under the will of God on the earth, then God gives you territory, and the devil cannot touch the territory anymore, because now you have gained back that land, that place, that territory of influence through the born again experience. And so he's afraid that if you tap into the door opportunities that God gives you, his kingdom's going to be shaken and falling apart on the earth. So he will always come and do to you like he did with Eve and like he did with Jesus. Come to tempt you and sway you into an opportunity that temporarily looks pretty with a natural eye, makes sense with your ears, makes sense in your mind, but it is leading astray. The things of the spirit is not comprehended by senses and eyes and hearing. It is comprehended by revelation in the will of God for your life. You need revelation to be able to walk into those God opportunities that God has given you. And the devil will come in your point of need where you've got nothing and you don't have a position anymore, and you're in your valley moment, and he'll say to you, like what he did to Jesus. Jesus was now the humble servant. He was not the king. It was time for him to be a humble servant and submit to the Father and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here the devil comes and knocks on him and says, "No, I'm going to give you ownership and leader and authority over the earth if you bow down and worship me." And he had to know it was not the time for that. It was not the time for kingship and rulership and ownership. It was time for submission to the assignment. So you need to know, Gospel for Grandpino, what is your season and what is your time? And what does God want you to do? Because in that time of knowing what God wants you to do, there will be counterfeits coming and knocking out your door. And when you go, "Who's there?" you are actually asking, "What is your motive?" Because asking who's there, they're going to come in a pretty picture. It's going to be a pretty package. It's going to be a good friendship looking thing. It's going to be like, "Wow, he's the best man that I could ever think of ever marrying. He's the man of God for me. He ticks the tick box. I mean, he ticks the list of everything that I wrote down." Meanwhile, he's the counterfeit of the real thing. Because your eyes saw it like Eve and it looked pretty. Your heart saw it and it made sense. "I'm going to be wise if I have this man that got it all together." Meanwhile, he doesn't know God. He's not spirit-led. He's not equally yoked. And you are in trouble. You are in trouble, because Gospel for Grampian Youth, when you marry a spouse, they have to be spirit-filled, because you become one. and in one you serve the Lord as a couple. And if you are not equally yoked in your marriage opportunities, then you are in big trouble, because you're going to have constant division, conflict, disunity, and you are going to be pulled between two worlds. I was in that world where I was married to an unbeliever. I was pulled between two worlds. Eventually, I got a point of suicide, and eventually we got divorced. It was a 12-year relationship, and I was constantly pulled in the spirit and in the carnal, because he's an unbeliever. He doesn't believe God. He's not born again. He doesn't understand the kingdom of God. He doesn't know the Holy Spirit. He doesn't know what interceding in tongues is when you have a problem. He doesn't know that the word of God comes alive when the revelation of God hits the word. And so I was pulled to and fro. And so already we were unequally yoked. So we were divided from the first day of our consummation. And you can imagine long term, all that wealth that we acquired meant nothing. We had big houses. We went overseas. We drove nice cars. Those material things that you see with your eyes, covetousness, those nice houses, those nice trips, it was good for the eyes, it was good for the body, but it got us nowhere, because we lost everything after we got divorced. And even in the marriage, having all of that, we were in strife, division, disunity, we were unhappy. I remember the one day I said, I might as well just live in a one-bedroom home, having bare necessities and having peace and the presence of the Lord, then being in the big house, having all the nice things, good job titles, good, you know, assets, and spending opportunities, but I don't have God in me, because I'm divided between two worlds. I'm divided between two kingdoms. And it is traumatizing. So please, Gospel for Grampian listeners, I encourage you, please ask who's there when doors are knocked, and ask the question, what is the motive, and how does the motive of the opportunity affect you? Again, I'm thinking about Joshua. We started with Joshua when I mentioned to you, when God appointed him to take over the role of Moses. Even though he had the position, title, and the authority and the anointing to be the leader, he had to submit to God. His position was submitting to God and faith in God in order for him to be successful. And you can see when they had to go and get to the wall of Jericho, God, the angel of the Lord, came to him. And I just love how Joshua operated in such vigilance, that when the angel of the Lord came to him in Joshua 5, it says that, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Did you hear what he said, Gospel for Grampian Youth? He's asking this man, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Joshua was so vigilant that he didn't assume that that man standing opposite him is one of his team members. He was vigilant enough to ask, what is your motive here? And that is the heart we need to have. Don't think that because you're anointed of God, because you're born again, because you are spirit-led, because you have a title and a position, that means you don't have to ask what is the motive of the other person. Vigilance does that. Vigilance questions, what is your motive here? Vigilance says, Holy Spirit, what is the motive of the person standing in front of me? And here, this angel tells Joshua, I am the captain of the army of the Lord. He came, he was sent by God to come and give Joshua divine strategy on how to handle the wall of Jericho, because they thought they were going to go there and fight to break down the wall. But the angel of the Lord said to him, you're not going to go with your own understanding. You're not going to go in the carnal-minded understanding and break down the wall, because no human can break that wall down. It is a stronghold that for man to break it down. It requires spiritual, heavenly force to break down that wall. And so God gave instructions to Joshua, who was the leader of Israel, a spiritual faith instruction to conquer Jericho. So are you listening? When God gives you opportunities, you can't fulfill those opportunities in the carnal. You have to be spirit inspired. Likewise, when you are born again and you take an opportunity that is not a faith opportunity, you are going to be like the unbelievers working. You are going to twirl. You're going to be frustrated. You're never going to experience the great exploit that God talks about in the book of Daniel 11:32. Those who know their God will do great exploits. These men were government officials in Nebuchadnezzar's empire in Babylon. They were working for Babylon's government, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And these men knew that God led them there, and that door that was opened by government in Nebuchadnezzar for them to study and work there was a door that the Lord opened. Therefore, everything they did was in alignment by faith in God. That is why they could conquer walking in the fire and not getting burnt. They could conquer, Daniel could conquer sitting in the lion's den and not getting devoured, because it was a faith opportunity. If they did not take the faith opportunity, if it was not of God for them to walk in that opportunity, they would have been devoured by the lion. Because anything that is carnally inspired will always cause you to go the wrong way and lead to death and perish. You will be like the carnal mind of working, toiling, not having good sleep, and not being satisfied. But when you are doing a faith opportunity, accepting a faith opportunity, then you must know that you will find fulfillment even though you are going to have challenges. Even though you are going to have challenges. I want to remind you what Matthew 6:33 says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice what it's saying? All these things are added unto us. When we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, he will add those things to us. And like I'm saying, when God adds the friendships, he adds the marriage spouse, he adds the business opportunity, he adds the job, you will know it is of the Lord because your spirit man will resonate with it. Your heart will comprehend it. It will speak to the destiny that God put in you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. The opportunities that God opens for you is in line with that good future because it is faith inspired. Anything you do, any acceptance that you accept that is not a faith inspired acceptance, that relationship would fail, that marriage will fail, that business opportunity will fail, that friendship will fail because it was not inspired by God adding it to you. When God adds it to you, it will overcome the challenges that come with things that come by faith. If you look at Joshua, he faced a lot of challenges, but he overcame it as the leader of Israel. So don't think when God gives you an opportunity, you're not going to face challenges. No, the Bible says with persecution, you're going to be blessed. So all the blessings of God comes to us with persecution because the enemy comes to persecute us, to steal the things that God has given us. The enemy comes to steal the destiny, to steal the territory and the domain that God has given us. Look how he persecuted Israel persistently throughout many, many, many generations, because he knew that God had promised them the land. He didn't want them to have that land. So Gospel for Grampian listeners, it is faith in God that helps you sustain your journey in the promised places that God has given you. And so every opportunity that's knocking on your door, begin to ask, what is the motive of that opportunity? How does that affect where God is placing me and positioning me? How does it have eternal value? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. See, every door that knocks on your door, please make sure it is, you know, it's a faith motive before you say, yes, I love you,